George Washington Carver said, "No individual has any right to come into the world and go out of it without leaving behind him distinct and legitimate reasons for having passed through it."
One of two things will happen during our lifetime. Either we will leave our mark on the world, or the world will leave its mark on us. Hi, I'm Dave Deno. How have you spent your time on Earth to this point? How will you spend the time you have left? Today on The Tide, Pastor Dwayne Potiker issues a challenge to all of us to spend this life preparing ourselves and those around us for the next life. Let's join Dwayne now for a few opening comments. Dwayne, I think we'd agree that God already knows who will come to believe in Him. Knowing this, some people choose not to share their faith, believing that it won't make a difference. What would you say to these people?
I would say that God has chosen to partner with us in reaching the lost. He has, in fact, put so much value on us as His creation that He has entrusted to us this incredible mission. Scripture says that He is not willing that any should perish. That's the heart of God. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. And to think that then He has entrusted this mission to us is to place upon us great value, that He loves us and He will empower us to carry out that mission. He also wants us to experience the fulfillment and joy of carrying out that ministry that He gives us to accomplish. Let me just say, in that regards, I don't know that there is anything that brings much greater joy and satisfaction in this life than leading somebody to Christ or sharing the truth of God's Word with them. If you've ever done that, you know what I'm talking about. There is incredible joy. You almost feel when you're sharing the gospel with people, you almost feel like you're getting saved all over again. You feel the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through you. It's an excitement that God has granted us the privilege to enjoy as we serve Him.
Now, a lot of people are hesitant to share their faith, for quite another reason. They don't want to offend anyone or be accused of being judgmental. Rather than face that potential conflict, they simply hold their tongue. How would you respond to them?
I know that a lot of us fall into this category, and we need to be challenged. We need to move out of our comfort zone, but of greater concern, Dave, is this. I think we need to recognize that when we don't share, we are in danger of disobedience to God. He has called us, let me be a little more specific, He has commanded us to share our faith, to share the good news of the gospel. So we would see that if we don't share this message, we fall into the category of the sin of omission. We are not doing something that He has commanded us to do. And that would lead to a breakdown of our relationship with God.
When God throws a party, everyone is invited. And for reasons of His own, He's asked you and me to pass out the invitations. So let's join Dwayne now for his message, The Great Invitation.
Well, after recovering from my first brain surgery, we received an invitation to go for several days, free of charge, to Disneyland up in the L.A. area of California. All expenses paid to the park, several days in the Disneyland hotel. We looked at it and said, nah, don't want to go. What do you think we said? Oh, yeah. Bada bing, cha-ching. And so we made the arrangements, we packed the suitcases, and we headed off at the date and went up there. Found our place, went into the Disneyland Hotel. If you've ever been to the Disneyland or the Disney World Hotel, you know how fascinating it is, the decorations, all the glitz, all the splendor. We checked in, and I mean, it's just the lobby itself is fascinating, and all the decorations. And anyway, we made our way up to the room, opened the door to our room, and it was all decorated. There was a basket of fruit. There was those sparkling ciders. There was stuffed animals, Minnie and Mickey, for the girls. I mean, it was just incredible. And all we had to do was go down into the lobby the next day and get on the monorail and go into the park for several days and play and have fun. It was an invitation that was exciting. One of the interesting things that we remember is that when we went into the hotel, there were certain decorations that night, just normal decorations, I suppose, for that hotel. When we got up the next morning and came down the elevator and stepped out into the lobby, everything had changed overnight. It was suddenly Christmas at Disneyland. I mean, there must have been a tree 30 feet high, all the decorations, all the lights. There were decorations everywhere, wrapped presents. I mean, it was incredible. It was like suddenly you woke up and stepped into Christmas. It was a great invitation. There was another invitation where I received perhaps one of the most honoring or one of the exciting invitations from the Billy Graham Association, inviting me to Amsterdam 2000 for the event in which evangelists and preachers from all around the world were going to be gathered for several days to be trained and equipped to be more effective in evangelism. And I was excited. It was when I got this invitation that I had been accepted and notified that I had been accepted, I could hardly keep from telling people I was invited to go. How many of you have ever received an invitation where you could hardly keep from telling about it? It's just about ready to explode inside of you. You just got to tell somebody. I hope by the end of this message today, you'll realize that there is an invitation inside of you that if God will touch the seed of that invitation, it's about to explode. And you've just got to tell somebody. You can't hold it back. I want to talk to you about the great invitation. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, beginning at verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like. It is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who he had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out in the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests." The kingdom of heaven is like. Let's notice what it's like. There is, or there was, a wedding banquet. Guess what, friends? There will be a wedding banquet for the Son. There is a day coming. There is an invitation that's being presented to you today to be part of this wedding banquet. Have you accepted that invitation? Well, who is the groom? I can't hear you. Jesus is that groom. He is that one dressed in white, currently seated beside the right hand of God. The Father is preparing a great, great wedding celebration for the Son and the bride. And then who is the bride? We are. All those who repented of their sins, who have confessed and asked Jesus for forgiveness through the blood of the cross of Christ. We are that bride. There is a great wedding banquet for the Son and for the bride. I want you to hear that today. I want you to know that that invitation is to go out to everyone. Take note of that. We'll come back to it. Secondly, the servants are sent to give that invitation. Who would those servants be that are sent to give that invitation? I think if we look back in this passage or in the New Testament, we see that there were the apostles, the disciples. We look back into the Old Testament, there were the prophets and the priests. They were sent to give this invitation. Take it into our day. There are the pastors. There are the evangelists. There are the preachers. There are the teachers. There are the Sunday school teachers. They are to give this invitation. But church, if we think it is only the pastors and the teachers, the evangelists and the preachers, we've missed the point. All of us who have received the invitation are supposed to take the invitation and invite others. C.H. Spurgeon once said, "Our cowardice has subjected the gospel to contempt. We're not going out to share the gospel." The interesting thing is, even when this invitation was taken out, people refused to come. I found a quote that I think will help us understand. "Evangelism is like one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. If you found food, you ought to go tell somebody else where they can find that food." Now, the interesting thing is, in verses 5 through 6, we see the people paid no attention and persecuted the servants. The only reason I can come up with for them not accepting this invitation is because they didn't understand what the invitation was, or their hearts had been hardened to the invitation. But the interesting thing is, these people who were giving this invitation, they turned against these servants, the very ones who were offering it. They became unkind, they mistreated them, they massacred them, they abused, they were ugly. Not much has changed in our day. Anyone who wants to go and give the invitation to this wedding banquet will probably be misunderstood, most likely will be mistreated. And as we see around our world, there will be many, perhaps even massacred because of their faith when they share this invitation. Why would they turn it down? Because the enemy has hardened their heart. They don't understand. But what I notice next is, in verse 7, heartaches and hardships always follow those who resist. When people resist this invitation, their heart becomes hard. And hardships come. God pulls back his hand. But also there is a judgment. And a judgment is coming for those who don't accept this invitation. I believe that judgment begins in this life. The hardships. But someday, friends, there is a day coming when we will all stand before God to give an account. What did you do with the invitation? And if we didn't accept that invitation, there will be a certain judgment. But church, hear this as well. For those of us who did accept the invitation, what did we do with that invitation in sharing it with others? You see, we see through verses 8 through 10 that the invitation must be given to everyone. This invitation is not exclusive. It's not just for me. It's for everybody. Ray Stedman said this, "We have acted like God is not interested in the world, that he only wants us, that we are the favored people of God. We have gathered our robes of self-righteousness about ourselves and drawn into our Christian ghettos, which we typically call a church. Let the world go to hell. We are going to enjoy God's favor and blessing. And we have resisted the charge to reach out to the lost, the fragmented humanity all around us." Church, I want you to hear the challenge. I want you to hear the command that we are not only to receive the invitation, we are to take the invitation to others. What is our responsibility then? You see, Viktor Frankl said, "Life is expecting something from you." Never say, "Life has nothing to offer." You should be saying, "What can I give?" So here are some things that we need to understand is our calling, our purpose. One, to know, love, and serve God. 1 John 2:3 says, "We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands." See, we're supposed to know Him, not just intellectually, but we're supposed to live out what we know. And when we know Him, we'll live differently from this world. We're marched to the tune of a different drummer. We're to know. Second word, love. Matthew 22:36-40, I'm lifting out a verse of that. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." We're not only supposed to know God, we're supposed to love Him. And I think it's good for us at times to say, "God, I admit, I confess, I don't have love in my heart for you. Would you please pour your love in my heart that I might love you, that I might know you, that I might do." We're supposed to serve. Now, I believe that the more we get to know God, the more we'll begin to love Him, and the more we love Him, the more we will serve Him. You believe that? I think that is a natural progression. When you know God and you see His incredible love and His compassion and mercy and His awesomeness, you will know Him, then you will love Him more. And when you love Him more, the automatic result or byproduct of that love will be worked out in service. Could it be safe then to say that I can evaluate my level of love for God and my level of knowledge of God by how much I serve God? Maybe. Not completely. Because we could choose to serve out of wrong motives, pride, arrogance, to be noticed, to be affirmed, to put into position. That's not the motive we should have. The motive to serve God is that we know Him, who He is, and now we love Him for what He's done and who He is. And I understand my obligation then is to serve You, God. Secondly, to present Jesus Christ. Jesus told us in the Great Commission, which is now our great commandment, go and make disciples of all nations. Friends, that starts right here. That starts right where you live. Sometimes we miss the call. Sometimes we miss the understanding. We think, well, I'm not being called to go to the mission field over there in Africa or India or China or South America. Hello, do you remember what Acts 1:8 says? You shall be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem, that's right where you live. That's right where you work. In Judea, Samaria and Judea. And then unto the utmost parts of the world. You see, it is likely that most of us under the sound of my voice will not be called to leave our homes. But guess what? We are called to share with people around our homes. And we are called to share with people with where we work. And as this is my pulpit from Sunday to Sunday, your pulpit and your platform is your place of work. And your church is your neighborhood. And the place where you work is where you're supposed to share that invitation. There's a third part of this, to train and equip believers. At Ephesians 4:11-12, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Church, I remind you again, do you know what the role of pastors is? To teach, train, and equip you to do the work of the ministry. In other words, when you are equipped, you will become more effective in sharing the invitation with the people in your neighborhood and the places where you work. Our responsibility is to help train you. Your responsibility is to come and be trained and then to do it. That's your biblical responsibility. Fourth statement, to love and serve others. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Is there any question about what He was trying to say to us? Love one another. Another verse says in Ephesians 6, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. So not only are we to love others, we're to serve others. I encourage you to jot down 1 John chapter 4 and read that chapter. It's about love. Verse 8 says this, whoever does not love does not know God. Oh, wow. That's a pretty in-your-face statement. God, you mean if I'm not loving people, I don't know you? That's what it says. Because to know God is to love God. And to love God is to serve God. And part of serving God is to love others. Let me ask you a question. How many people like apples? You'd like to crunch on a good juicy apple. Not an old dried up or rotten one, a good juicy apple. How many of you here have ever counted the number of seeds in an apple? Okay, hold them up high. This is amazing. First service, I don't think there were any. Hold them up high. You're weird. No, just kidding. I personally have never counted the number of seeds in an apple. Maybe you'll do that next time you eat one. But here is even a more difficult question. Have you ever counted the apples in the seeds? It's not possible, is it? It's not possible. You can't possibly count the number of apples in a seed. Do you know that as a picture? Are you getting it? We receive the invitation. God has expectation. We can't possibly count what God wants to do through us in sharing that invitation with others. One tiny seed could produce an apple tree that produces hundreds or thousands of apples with other seeds that produce more apple trees that have more apples with more seeds that have more apple trees. There's no end. I want you to take that picture, that understanding, and understand that God has placed in you this seed, this invitation to go and grow an orchard. Go grow an orchard for the glory of God. Wouldn't that be a great slogan? Go grow an orchard for the glory of God. You have the seed. You have the invitation. George Washington Carver said, "No individual has any right to come into the world and go out of it without leaving behind him distinct and legitimate reasons for having passed through it." God has expectations for you. He wants you to win your neighbors to Christ. You can't make it happen. You just have to share the invitation. He wants you to win your coworkers to Christ, your classmates, your schoolmates. He wants you to win your communities for Christ. You can't save them, but you can share the invitation. That's your responsibility.
You don't have to be educated or articulate or charismatic to share your faith. All you have to be is willing. And remember, even if you're not the next Billy Graham, the next person you lead to Christ might be. Now for some final thoughts, let's once again join Dwayne, who's in the studio with our director, Don Schenk.
If we'd put all this theory into practice, the church should be growing exponentially. Now there's some growth taking place in the church, but it's not an amazing growth like we saw in the New Testament. And it could be argued that it's because Christians aren't sharing their faith. Dwayne, why do you suppose that more Christians aren't actively witnessing?
I think there are several reasons, but I think the primary reason, Don, is that there is a fear of embarrassment. There is a fear of rejection. Perhaps there is a great fear of not knowing what to say, feeling like there's ignorance, and they might get caught in a scenario where they're embarrassed because they don't know how to answer questions. But we need to remember, when we're sharing our faith, we are only witnesses of what we already know to be true. And we are simply giving testimony of our own experience with God. People may refute the scriptures, they may renounce churches, but they cannot deny your personal testimony. And that is the power of somebody's personal witness. When you share what God is doing in your life, God uses that in a powerful way to touch the hearts of other people.
So in a sense, there is a requirement, other than simply being willing, there is another requirement for me to be able to offer this invitation.
There is, Don, and I think that begins with making sure that we've accepted that invitation personally. We want to make sure that that invitation is authentic, that it's coming from a heart and a relationship with Christ. So we individually need to have an update and fresh encounter with Jesus Christ, that we are living and walking with Him.
What about the fact, Dwayne, that we don't always have to be stating the words ourselves when we're witnessing? There are other ways that we can actually help to spread the Christian faith by supporting ministries. And one way of that, one way of doing that is through our radio ministry. As we invite people to partner with us in our worldwide ministry, you can actually, through our radio broadcast, have a part of sharing the gospel with someone on the other side of the world who you would never stand face to face with and speak to.
That is so true, and that's exciting to know that through supporting ministries like this, we are partnering with people, we are partnering in ministry to reach around the world to bring the lost to Jesus Christ.
And it's not just a futile exercise, and I just want to share some letters that we've received from listeners in Panama, for example, people who have heard our broadcast there and have been had their lives touched. For example, here's one where a gentleman writes, "I listened to your gospel broadcast on radio newspaper in Panama and was blessed. I began to search for Jesus Christ. I found out that my life was empty without Jesus. Since I heard your program, I have never been the same. I know Jesus Christ died for my sins. Thank you for preaching on the radio."
Don, here's a letter from Panama where the writer says, "Ever since I started to listen to your program, my life has completely turned around, and I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior." He says, "Thank you for bringing the word to our homes." That's why we do this.
Right. And the life-changing power of the gospel is not necessarily just in our words, but we have to carry those words. We have to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank all of our listeners who do support us in this ministry, because we are a non-denominational, totally listener-supported ministry, and we rely on your gifts and to keep this ministry going. So I invite you to continue proclaiming the Word of God through this ministry in partnership with us.
Praise God for the lives He is changing through our radio broadcasts in Panama. Our hope and our prayer is that God is also speaking to you through Pastor Pottinger's messages. Are you finding the radio ministry beneficial in your own spiritual development? Do you feel that God is using the tide to speak into your life and the lives of others? If so, I want to remind you that the Tide is a listener-supported ministry. That is, we do rely upon your financial gifts to make it possible for us to boldly proclaim the gospel right here on your station and in other regions of the world. To find out how you can help support us in this ministry, call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Now, as always, today's program, The Great Invitation, is available for a gift of any size. To receive your copy, call and ask for tape number or CD number 0412. You may call us toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Or send your request to the Tide at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. To find out how you can help us share the gospel, or to hear an encore presentation of today's program, please visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, touching the hearts on shores worldwide, you're listening to The Tide. I'm Dave Dino, reminding you to join us next week for another powerful message from the files of Pastor Dwayne Pottinger. We'll see you then.